There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Wide open, CD in space, CD Lamb still running, hits a corner, CD!
To take it to the third overtime.
He pulled it! Unbelievable! South Carolina wins!
It's a hell of a day to be a Gamecock, isn't it? You know, isn't it awesome?
What a weekend of college football. I can't wait to break it down with these two. David Pollack, Joey Galloway, I'm Marty Smith. Welcome to College Football Live on Tuesday. And gentlemen, we're going to start in Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs took it on the chin. The South Carolina Gamecocks come in and get the upset of the weekend, certainly. So let's discuss Georgia's playoff opportunity after that loss. Joey, how do you define it right now?
It's fine as far as resume goes because they played Notre Dame, who's a top 10 football team, and beat them, which is why we always preach these teams should play somebody before they get into their conference schedules because it will matter to your resume. And so because they have Florida, because they have Auburn, who are also highly ranked football teams, if they can get to the SEC championship game and play an LSU or an Alabama, which is also a top five team, Georgia will be just fine from a resume standpoint. The scary part is the way they looked in that game. We haven't seen Jake Fromm look like that, where he goes 28 of 51. And so that's the part that's scary. They have to fix what they did wrong on Saturday for us to even have this conversation moving forward.
They are life support. I know the ifs, ands, or buts, Joey, and I can tell you if they run the table and if they beat Florida and if they beat Auburn and if they beat LSU or Alabama, you just took away your mulligan, your one chance you had to possibly lose close maybe and still make a college football playoff. And you're right, Jake Fromm, it was a rough game. It was not good. And you know what, Joey? It wasn't just Jake Fromm. The wide receivers out wide did a lot of losing, did some drop, that dropped more passes than they had dropped all season long. That pick right there by Simmons, right through his hand in overtime. Like, they could have made plays. The design of the offense, they're going to have to design more explosive plays, and receivers are going to have to grow and get better, because that, to me, was the biggest flaw of the offense, was Jake Fromm and the wide receivers.
When they made the play at the end of the game, even though Jake Fromm and the offense had struggled during the game, when they made the play to make it 17-17, you still had the feeling, okay, they're going to pull this game out. You know, South Carolina is not a team that feels like that is used to winning these big-time games, especially on the road. They're going to win this game. And they just didn't. They just didn't do what they needed to do at the end of the game to pull it off. And so now we're having this conversation. Can Georgia get back in it?
They dropped from 3 to 10 in the rankings. So who benefits most, Pollack, from Georgia's misstep?
Everybody behind them. I mean, it's not like, listen, I know we talk about Georgia controls their own destiny, but if I'm Wisconsin, I'm pretty excited now, because if I lose to Ohio State and that's my one loss, hey, that's not a bad loss. If I'm Oregon and my one loss was in the opener to Auburn, like, hey, that's a good thing. Like, they lost at home to South Carolina to a pretty bad football team. So, you know, the one thing the committee has showed us over and over and over again, if you lose to a bad team, they will take their pound of flesh. So I think anybody in the playoff race, you know, listen, you got LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, all those folks, they all benefit. Clemson all benefits now with the one loss being to an average team at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you look at the other conferences. I think Oklahoma benefits. I think Ohio State, Wisconsin benefit. Anytime we get into these discussions where you could possibly have two SEC teams, which before last Saturday, that was the feeling, because three of these teams were top five, top six teams. And so you always have that discussion early on. And once one of those teams loses in the SEC, then all of a sudden you look around, and if you're the Big 12, if you're the Big 10, if you're the ACC, even the Pac-12, then you say, okay, now the door is open. We only want one of these seats to go to the SEC. We don't want them to have two. Georgia losing helps everyone else.
So that door is now wide open. As tough a day as it was for Georgia in Athens, it was a resoundingly great day for the LSU Tigers in Death Valley with a convincing statement victory over an undefeated team in Florida. Joe Burrow continues to impress, and that has now started the narrative. Who is the team to beat in the SEC West? Is it LSU or is it Alabama? So let's start right there, Pollock. Who you got? You got the Bayou Bengals or you got the Tide?
You know what's nice is it's the first time in so many years that this is actually a debate. Because I'm just telling you, we used to always try to pump up LSU, Alabama. And I'm like, LSU can score like 7 points, bro. It's not going to matter. They're not going to beat them. But now it's going to be really fun to see. I tell you what, the game's played in Tuscaloosa. Right now, I will give the edge to Alabama. I'll say this. Their pass rush was better a week ago, this past week, than it's been in the past, and it's going to have to get better. The running game is getting a little bit better, too. But I just think Alabama, when you're watching them, they get the advantage of being at home. It's not in the crazy land of Baton Rouge. It's going to be in Tuscaloosa, and that has to mean something right now. I'll lean towards Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe Alabama has a slight edge, but what we do know is there is one team in the country that has been battle tested, and that's LSU. They played Texas, now they played Florida. Nobody else can say they have a resume with those kind of games on it so far. And so as we look at LSU, they look terrific. When you look at this Alabama offense, it is still very, very scary. Every single Saturday, I mean, Tua's stats are terrific. But really, the fact that he can throw it for 5 yards, and it doesn't matter which guy, it could be Ruggs or Waddle or Smith, or it doesn't matter. Whichever one of those guys touches the ball, they can go 80. And so this game, honestly, I can't wait to see what the line is, like the over-under number, because it's going to look like a Big 12 over-under, because the Alabama defense is also giving up points, like 28 points a game to SEC opponents this year, and we've seen LSU's defense give up some points. The over-under is going to look like a Big 12 football game.
On the football field, it is so impressive what LSU's done. Arguably, the two most impressive wins of the year, Texas, and now they beat Florida at home. Speaking of Bama and LSU, let's take a look further into this. At this week's college football rankings brought to you by AT&T, the LSU Tigers are the big movers after that win, up to second in the country behind Alabama. Clemson and Ohio State round out the top four. That leads us to the Capital One fan vote discussion of who really should be number one. Should it be Alabama? Maybe Clemson? Maybe LSU? And I know Pollock is real high on Ohio State. Be sure to go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote and participate yourselves. All right, let's get into that discussion on who we feel like is the number one team in the country. Joey, I'll start with you. Who you got?
I know you're not going to like this answer, but that team that was sitting there with 12%, Clemson.
Yep.
They should still be number one. They're the defending champion. They have not been beaten. We know what they are. Now, when you watch Trevor Lawrence, he had another really bad interception in the game this past Saturday. But what we know of good quarterbacks, talented quarterbacks, we've seen Sam Darnold do it. If you watch Justin Herbert, you see him do it at times. They think that they can magically make the ball get somewhere where it shouldn't be. And Trevor Lawrence is trying to do too much right now. They'll fix that. I still have Clemson, the defending champ, at number one.
Joey, if all the football teams you've watched, let me ask this a different way. Marty, I'm going to take over your job real quick. Who's the best team you've watched this year and you say that team looks better than anybody else in the country?
Well, I think it's tough because you look at who they've played. And so, like I said, there's only one team that's been battle tested. That's LSU. Nobody else can say they've played anybody. And so as I'm looking at it, I feel perfectly comfortable. If you match these four teams up, Clemson will be fine.
I don't disagree with that. I think Clemson will be fine. But the answer is LSU. LSU will have the committee will have them number one. They should be number one. Again, committee, don't talk to me about strength of schedule. Don't tell me that matters if you got a team that goes to Texas to start their season and wins at Texas, a top 15 team in college football, and just handles their business at home against Florida, another one of the better teams in college football. There is nothing nobody else has done to come close to that. LSU should be the number one team in the country, and it's not even close.
I cannot wait until November 9th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, because to Galloway's point, they might score 115 points combined in that one. These gentlemen obviously have plenty to say about the teams across the country, and we'll get into that more coming up. We're going to have the mid-season report cards. I can't believe that it's mid-season already, but these guys will break down their thoughts on some of the best teams in the country next on College Football Live. It's going to be a whiteout Saturday night in Happy Valley as Jim Harbaugh and the number 16 Michigan Wolverines take on number 7 Penn State under the lights. That one's going to be awesome. 7:30 Eastern, ABC and the ESPN app. Now it's time for the BMW Ultimate Performance. The Joe Burrow Award goes to Tua. Man, he continues to light up scoreboards with all that talent around him with Smith and Judy and Waddle and the whole squad. He's thrown for 500 more yards this year and 9 more touchdowns than he did in an amazing season 1 year ago. All right, gentlemen, it's time for some report cards. We're going to start with those Alabama Crimson Tide. You're up, David. How you grade them?
I will give the Crimson Tide a B. I think it's a good start to the season. I love what I've seen from the offense. The run game hasn't been what I'm accustomed to seeing. And I don't know, can they just move people and smash people in the mouth? That's, again, I'm nitpicking. They haven't played Joey the greatest schedule. And I would like to see more pass rush from them on a more consistent basis. So it's not bad, but I'll give them a B.
Well, my goodness, if Bama's getting a B, I can't imagine what Pollock is about to do to some of these other teams. I'm going to give them an A. They're 6-0. The offense just looks incredible. Defense is giving up a few more points than they would like, but if your offense is going to get you 50-some points, then you can afford to give up a few points to the other team. I'm going with A, and Marty, I can't wait to see where Pollock is, what he's going to do to them, his other
Hold
teams.
On, man.
He's about to pull some
critic,
teams. I can already see it.
That's like telling me you get an A in English. And yes, you get an A in English, but it's also, you know, you got to do some history. That's the other side of the coin. This is over defense, offense, special teams. This is all conclusive. Yep. Come on.
He's about to flunk some teams. This ought to be good.
Speaking of A's, there's no doubt the Clemson Tigers were an A at the end of last season. But let's discuss where they are right now, midway through 2019. What you got, Joey?
I'm going with a B. Now, if I'm giving them a B, I seriously can't wait to see what Pollock does here. They haven't really played a tough schedule. But they have looked like the Clemson we are used to seeing last season. And again, I think Trevor Lawrence is a young quarterback, had great success last season, is trying to do too much with the football. He needs to rely on some of his weapons, let ETN run the ball, but they'll be fine. They don't play anybody. They'll go undefeated.
I'll give Clemson a B+. And I say that because coming into the season, the biggest question mark for me by far, how do you reload and fill all those holes defensively? Dude, their defense has been sensational. Now, listen, their offense and Trevor Lawrence hasn't been what we thought it was going to be by any stretch, but their defense, man, they have exceeded expectations big time. I will give them a B+.
Speaking of exceeding expectations.
Bama fans are like, what?
We all had high expectations for Justin Fields and what he would do in Ryan Day's offense, but he is lighting it up. David, where do you got the Buckeyes?
A+. What else do you want to see from the Buckeyes? They've got a quarterback now that they can build an offense around with Ryan Day that's running, it's physical. But let's just talk about the D-line, man. I mean, it's better than anybody that we're talking about in this discussion, period. They get after the quarterback. They've got monsters on the defensive side of the football, along with Fields running and throwing with Day. It's an A+ for me.
I'll give them an A also. I think that they're a team that hasn't been quite as battle-tested as a team like LSU, but much like Alabama, much like Clemson, they played about the same level of competition. They look really good doing it. They look solid on both sides of the ball. They've yet to play against an offense that was good enough to really challenge this defense, and that's the only question mark coming into the season was, is this defense better than it was last season? We've seen the defense give up a lot of big plays. We knew Ryan Day's terrific coaching offense. We knew he's terrific. And he would get Justin Fields ready. We just need to see what this defense is going to be. And they've been great so far. I give them an A.
Michigan, one of the more criticized 5-1 teams I've ever seen after that loss to Wisconsin. Seems like, oh, y'all lit them up. Let's go to the Wolverines, Joey. How you grade them?
I'm going to give them a C. I'm not as mean as Pollock. They haven't looked great, but they've only lost the one game. They beat Iowa. It was 10-3. You couldn't even watch it. It was so bad, but they won the game. They get a C because Wisconsin completely ran them over, and you don't see a Michigan team get run over that way. Now, all their games are in front of them. They still have Michigan State. They got Penn State this weekend. They have Ohio State at the end. And so they can always get a passing grade by the end, but right now they're a C.
C means average, right? I think Michigan is very average.
About average.
I mean, when I've watched them this season offensively, they're below average defensively. They've had games with, like, the Iowa game when they looked like world beaters, and they had games in Wisconsin when they looked really bad. I think they're a pretty average team. They're going to have to improve big time offensively if they're going to have a better season, and they're going to have a season like they want to win 10 games again this year. But the offense, if I was grading the offense, I can promise you it wouldn't be a C.
They might be struggling offensively, but Oklahoma is not struggling offensively. I mean, Jalen Hurts is going around the back against Texas. It's unbelievable to watch them perform with Lincoln Riley. So where do you guys put the Sooners? David, where do you have them?
First of all, I don't even care. I knew what the offense can do, and I've seen that movie in the credits ad nauseum. I haven't seen the defense like that. That defense, what I just saw this past week, give me an A. I mean, I was so impressed with Murray and those boys flying around, sacking Ellinger left and right, didn't let him get comfortable. They flew around to the football. It was awesome to watch. Oklahoma Sooners get an A from me up to this point.
I agree with you on that. I think they get an A. We're all waiting. Just one thing. We need to see what the defense was going to do. They look good against Sam Ellinger. The first time all season he hasn't thrown for a touchdown pass. You think Big 12 football and you think about what they're known to be. The over-under in that game, I think, was 75. It's something crazy. That's because they believed that Sam Ellinger and the Texas offense was going to put some points on the board. Oklahoma's defense, though, really good in this game. And so this team deserves an A. And I don't know what else is left for them moving forward, except they maybe see a Texas, a Baylor is an undefeated team. They might see them later on. But as far as what's happened so far, Oklahoma gets an A.
The jump that Kenneth Murray has made this season, he's always had the physical tools. This year, he's taken that to another place, and you can see it all over the field for Oklahoma. Let's talk Oregon real quick. They opened the season with that loss to Auburn. So where are the Ducks right now, Joey?
I'm going to give them a B. And that's simply because in that first game, which I appreciate them playing a team like Auburn to begin a season, but they had the lead. They had a lead going against a team with Bo Nix, a freshman quarterback. You got Justin Herbert. I think they should have kept their foot on the gas pedal and tried to play to win the game as opposed to trying to play with the lead, trying not to lose the game. So I'll give them a B. That's the only game they lost.
Yeah, and so we have the start of the season, and then from that point on, it's been really good. It's been great. I mean, I tell you what. If I was grading their defense, I would give them an A in a heartbeat. Their defense has been unbelievable. I mean, talk about what they've done, just harassing team after team. Nobody got in the end zone against this team since Auburn until last week. I mean, that's how dominant they've become. I think they get since the Auburn game on, man, I'll give them a B+. I'm very impressed with Oregon and the team that they're doing. Listen, big week against Washington to improve that grade some more and see if this is the team that's going to possibly be in the college football playoff and run the Pac-12 slate.
Notice LSU wasn't on our list. I think that's because we all agree they're a big fat A+ right now. They are hoping down in Baton Rouge. Y'all remember
Wisconsin.
The XFL?
Wisconsin gets no love. It's okay, Wisconsin. Hey. A+, Wisconsin. A+.
The league's inaugural draft got underway today. We'll tell you where some of the familiar faces are going, including a Sooner reunion. The XFL season draft is underway today in a two-day extravaganza that goes through Wednesday as all eight teams in the league choose their respective 71-man roster for the 2020 season as the league makes its return. Here's some of the pertinent information that you should know. Eight teams, as we said, drafting over the next couple of days. The quarterbacks are assigned to the teams before phase one, including Landry Jones, of course, who played at Oklahoma, Aaron Murray, who played at Georgia, and Cardale Jones, 12-gauge, who led the Ohio State Buckeyes to the 2014 College Football Playoff National Championship. Now let's bring in my man, Tom Luganville. If anybody knows XFL, it's Luges. This guy has a ring, y'all, from back in 2001. I love it. All right, Luges, you're there at the draft. We saw there where the quarterbacks were pre-assigned to their teams. How did that play out?
Well, really what this was all about, Marty, was to give each one of the respective teams some competitive balance. They allowed for each coaching staff and their head coach to go out and identify and evaluate players that they thought best fit their system, their environment, and get those guys in the fold, to give them a chance going in. Now, doesn't guarantee those players will make the roster, doesn't guarantee that they will be starters. It just gives them an opportunity to be on equal footing as the coaches saw it throughout the evaluation process. I think it's a smart move. We'll see more quarterbacks drafted throughout today and tomorrow, and then we'll see maybe some quarterbacks drafted once the fall and the mini camps are completed.
And the players that we've seen drafted, of course, former college football players. How will this play out for current and future college football players?
Well, I can't speak to future seasons in the XFL, but I do know in this current cycle, they will not be targeting players that are currently enrolled in college. Now, if a player chooses to forego his season of eligibility, ends up not being drafted, somebody like Katie